Yud, page 134.
Is anyone there?
No.
Yes.
No. A few people. We have some it's people so here. Mm-hmm. Mary is the only one online. You're the only one online. Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud. Chalbamai sagaru pimai. Dibroi vigeyus. Chalbamai sagaru. They're fat. Their fat has closed them up, has locked them down. Pimoy, their mouth, Dibu speaks Vigeus. Chalbamai over here means they're very plump people, it seems. And they had double chin, there's so much basar, it prevents them from speaking. It's hard to understand what this means. Let's see the Mitzuga is David.
Something like
Yishman Yishun. He's saying the words. Let's see the mitzudos. He's saying an idea. Let's see the mitzudos. Chalbamai al shechalbam sagru piem migoydel hashuman meroiv kol. Due to the fat, to the abundance of everything, their mouths are shut. Lezeh, therefore yidabru bigaava. Okay, so is this to be taken literally, or is this to be taken figuratively? Does it mean literally that these people, they're so much, some of the farshim actually said that they're so fat, they're so much, they have a triple or quadruple chin, and there's so much fat on their face, it prevents them from actually speaking physically.
It's simpler to say the geim, the ruby geus.
What is the sign?
Instead of chelbomai, sogru, pimai, just say ha geim, the ruby geus.
I'm not sure what you mean.
It would be a simpler way to say
okay,
it.
Okay, of course, everything can be simplified in a few words, but the fact that they're written in these complex terms obviously is coming to teach us lessons, the very deep concepts, and there are multiple dimensions of what these psukim mean, because in fact they are written with such complexity. So Rebuchal really alludes to what it really means is Vayishman Yishudun Vayivat. Yishudun Kal Yishudun became, they became fat. What did they become fat from? They became fat from prosperity. As Moshe Rabbeinu said by the egel, he says, Di Zahav means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's your fault. The reason why they worship the egel is because you gave them too much. What do you expect? When you give a person, when you give a child, you put a child in front of a friend, give him a candy store, I mean, the Rashi that gives them a marshal, but...
Moshe
Rabbeinu was a Bar Tshuva. It was the Melamed Zchus. He was coming to the Melamed Zchus. He's saying, what do you expect, Hashem, that they do not have the tools to overcome the Yetzirah, especially when you've given them too much. So it's here's the same thing, Yishman Yishurun Vayivot. When Yishurun refers to Klal Yisrael, when they become fat, when they become complacent due to prosperity and success, they think they're invincible, and they begin to forget about Hashem, and it begins to grow within their neshama, an attitude of koichi, the oitzem yadi aslia sachayel hazeh. And then unfortunately, this is the cycle of history. Jews, they suffer, they become successful, they become arrogant, Hashem humbles them, and the cycle starts all over again.
It's not all of the nation is prosperous. And there are...
elements.
There are, you know, the wealthy, then they forget or about or oppress the poor. So that's really who the complaint is about.
Exactly, that's absolutely true. That there are many different groups in Klal Yisrael. I wonder if you can argue that today in modern times, Klal Yisrael, there's never been such diversity in Klal Yisrael as there has been in history. Throughout history, I mean, today look at Klal Yisrael. Okay, there's a very large segment of Jews that are irreligious. Among those who are irreligious, there are many different types of irreligious Jews. Okay, there are Jews that are traditional, there are Jews who live in America, Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, Jews who live in Argentina, Jews in South America. And today, because of the complexity of the world and the influence that the Goyim have upon us, it has taken us, Klal Yisrael, and has divided us into, splintered us into so many different groups. Amongst the religious Jews, obviously, the Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, look, I don't have to tell you how complex it is. How among there are the Litvish Jews, we call the Litvish Jews, then there are the Svardim, the Hasidim, And each one of these groups can be broken down into so many different parts, so many different hashkafas. And each hashkafa, you can't, it's 100% shomer Torah mitzvahs. There's just a different emphasis, a different focus on what is a priority. That's really what it comes down to. The different types of religious Jews, what is their priority? Is it Musar? Is it Simcha? Is it, you know, all different, yeah, I don't have the vocabulary and the way of, but it's self-evident, self-understood. And amongst the irreligious Jews, who identify as being Jews as well, you have so many different types of those who identify as Jews, and they have very different, a different focus. So Michal, you're absolutely correct. That when we talk about Vayishman, Yishun, Vayivot, who are we referring to? At the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and there was a complaint, Vidi Zohar, who exactly were involved in making the Egel? We know that only 3,000 people actually worshipped the Egel, but yet the entire Klal Yisrael was guilty, accountable for what happened, because there was intolerance or there was some degree of participation, whatever it means. Okay, but over here we are describing over here a segment of the Jewish people, whoever they may be, and it says Chelbomoy sa guru kama, which means, let's learn like a Michal, and let's assume that's what the Mitzvah stuff means, is that Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot. Chelbomoy means it's a metaphor for prosperity, for success, for confidence in success. And that leads, that success leads to an attitude of complacency, which then Saguru closes these people down. They are shut off from yearning to come close to Hashem and seek Hashem's guidance.
It's worse than complacency, it's an arrogance.
Okay, fine. That is correct. Complacency goes hand in hand with arrogance. We discussed last night, those who come in the afternoon, we discussed yesterday about the Nesim, the princes of Klal Yisrael. The Nesim of Klal Yisrael misled Klal Yisrael at least twice. And these are the elite, these are the Chashulis with Tzadikim. Mm-hmm. Number one, the Meraglim. They were the Meraglim. They spied on the land, and they took Klal Yisrael down a horrible path by coming back and issuing a slanderous report. And in this week's parasha, when it came to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, they said, you know, let the common man, let him give his $18 donation, and we will come in at the end and fill in whatever is missing. If the cost, the price tag of the Mishkan will be $100 million, okay, so you know what? Let the common man give their $18. How much will these people then come up with? Come up with $1 million? If everyone will give $18, they'll come up with a cup, whatever will come. And then at the end, we'll come and we'll fill in the gap. We'll give $98 million to fill in the gap. And what happened? The common man had so much excitement for the Mishkan, they gave away their life savings. And before you turned around, the entire budget was complete. The price tag of the Mishkan was complete. And then the Nesim come, we don't need you. Get lost. There's nothing we need you for. Everyone, the common men, they were embarrassed. They were put to shame. The only thing they can give is they gave the stones, the Avnei Shoyim, the Avnei Miluim. Even that, who says we even need them for that? They could have. Klal Yisrael could have taken some of the money they put away. They would have went to the neighboring nations and purchased these items. The Nesim, they were so wealthy, they had them in their pockets. They had them in their vault. So they took it out of their vault and they saved the people the trip of traveling, going over the bridge. They saved them the trip of going over the Verrazano. You know, in the Midbar, you know, there was the Verrazano Bridge existed, then they also, you know, the Garden State. When Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar, how do they travel? On the Garden State.
By Uber
also. You know, everyone knows that the Torah was given in Lakewood, in Yiddish, and when they traveled in the Midbar, they traveled in, you know, the Garden State. The nine was already too slow, too many traffic lights to go on the nine. So what did the Nesim accomplish? So they were put to shame. And the Nesim, it's not just that the Nesim were put to shame, the Nesim damaged the attitude of Klal Yisrael. Because Rashi says they were lazy. They were lazy. This idea, okay, you guys, you give $18. And when you finish with the $18, we'll come in and we'll go give the rest of the money. Rashi says, that's what they said. But the Torah testified against them that they were really lazy. It wasn't because they were so gracious and wanted others to contribute, because the Torah deleted the letter Yud from their name. V'hanisim heviu. It's missing the letter. It's spelled in the Torah Choser. It's missing the letter Yud, as a way of Hashem saying that I'm severely disappointed in the leaders of the Jewish people for their lax attitude. They were just Rashi. They atzelim. They were lazy. Rashi does not mince words. Rashi goes down really hard on these people. So why did this happen? So no one can tell us why they behaved in such a bad way. No one can.
Ride in and save the day.
Yeah, so they were, or you learn like what it says over here, Chelbomoy Sogur. David HaMelech is saying that success is that unfortunately a reality of this world, that V'dizahav, when the person is successful, when he is powerful, when everything goes his way, and he has money in the bank, and he has no daigus, this closes off a person's mind from understanding needing to come on to Hashem. And when I grew up, there was a certain person that was, you know, he was extremely wealthy. Money was totally like not an issue. Not an object. And it always bothered me that this fellow, he's not living in the real world. Like he makes decisions and he talks in these terms. And that are not just for him. He thinks other people should be doing what he's doing in certain ways, not having the sensitivity. You know, the average person struggles. The average person, what? Okay, but talking about amongst us, let's say you have like Rabbanim. You have a person who's in the position of leadership of Rav, and money, it's like not an object. It's not an issue, and he lives a certain lifestyle. And he has an expectation in his Piskei Halacha that if you're not doing this, then you know you're not a Torah true Jew. And like, you know, excuse me, you don't understand. How could you say something like what you said, or make such a halachic decision, not taking into account that the average person struggles. The average person has incredible daigus of how he's going to pay the rent, how he's going to pay tuition, how he's going to be able to marry his children, and yet you're just living in another world. You're living in another world. You're not taking into account the reality of what people go through every single day, because you, Hashem, has blessed you with an incredible blessing that is and you just don't get it. You're living a very you are blessed to have a certain reality, and the average person can't deal. I shouldn't even say that, because this person I'm thinking about, I found out later on that he had something in his life that no one would want to have. And like you know, someone once told me, life is like a short tablecloth. If it's nice on one side, it's not nice on the other side. And when you make it nice on the other side, it's not going to be nice on one side. No one in this world, no one, b'liyotzim in haklal, has everything. Some people, I just want to make sure, I think this is
the station.
Exactly. Even people that you think have everything, they don't. That's not the way Hashem did not put anyone in this world to live in bliss. Everyone has their things. You never be with kind of anyone. Like this person this person, I found out later something which is very, very painful. Exactly, everyone has their own peckle. At the end of the day, everyone's happy would not trade with anyone else. No one would trade with anyone else. So, but over here, in some instances, when you go and you want to focus, laser focus on a certain product, over here, Chelbomoy Soguru. We have people who are, we're going to learn, like Michal says, they have a lot of chela, a lot of fat. Their life is wonderful, and that blinds them. It blinds them. It closes their eyes. It closes their ability to think properly. It closes their ability to behave in a proper way, because they have too much. They have too much. Thus, Pimo, their mouths, Dibu speaks with gaze, with arrogance. Pasuk Yud Aleph.
By the way, he was in the middle of davening. He says, no chashuvai, and this, and he begs, and he prays. And suddenly, I said the word Rasha'im. Let me talk about the Rasha'im. So he's talking, you know, it's kind of, in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, if I daven Shmoneh Esrei, I ask this, and this, and this, and this. And suddenly I remember, I have a neighbor that I suffer from him. So I said, you know, please kill this, my neighbor is, I don't know why.
The shift. The shift. We have that very, very often.
We have it in our Shmoneh Esrei, the same thing.
Blam al-Shinim. All of a sudden in the middle. All of a sudden, Ashiva Shef, Derek Roshana, and then we have Olam al-Shinim. Obviously, we live in a very evil, there's a lot of evil in this world. There's a lot of evil in this world. A person should never underestimate, be naive. A person should not be naive to be trusting and underestimate the koyach of ra. People are always, many people are just shocked. They cannot believe how evil people are, how people take advantage of other people. And it's never too good to be too trusting. Never, 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 always protect yourself. You never, and you see in the end, you see exactly, David HaMelech, he's always not very high, and then he comes and he lashes out against the wicked. Look at Lel Pesach. Lel Pesach, in the middle of the Seder, you say Kinois. You say Shefoi Chamos El Hagoyim. Why do you say that belongs there? Kinois. You're at a high. You're at such a high. You're surrounded by your children. You bring out the beautiful Kalim. Make preparations. Most people, they're on such a high. Now is the time to vent. Leave that for tomorrow. Leave that for another time. Terence says, don't ever forget. It's a very powerful lesson. Even, what? Bring us back, exactly. Don't forget, we're living in a world, in Ulam Hazeh. And this world, there are some very, very wicked people out there who are just waiting for an opportunity to do harm. Don't be so trusting. Be very, very careful. And you
not
see that.
Harm to Jews or.
To other men.
Anyone.
Anyone. When you see it sometimes, you see there are people that have a spirit of wickedness. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, many people there, it's shelter. They live a very sheltered life, and they're very trusting. And then all of a sudden, when someone takes advantage of them, they're like, what? What just happened? I'm shocked. How did this happen? How could it be that someone just did this? Yeah, there are people out there that are very dangerous, and we personally have to be very careful to protect themselves. Chelbamoy Sagru, these wicked people, how did it come about? Because they had too much. Next pasuk Yud Aleph. Ashurenu atos sevavunu. Our steps. Now they have surrounded us. We have to read it more carefully. One moment. Enehem yoshisu lintois v'aretz. Their eyes they set lintois to spread out over the earth. Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzvah Stavit. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ashurenu. Now, what Ashurim, the our legs, our steps, Ashurenu. It doesn't mean happiness. It means footsteps. Misabavim ata ragleinu. They surround our legs. So this is a complex usage of the word. Lil koyd asemet to trap us. V'samei nehem. They set their eyes lintos ba'aretz to spread out in the earth. Ana va'ana le'eroiv aleinu to lay ambush upon us. So you have to read it backwards. Sivavunu ata ashurenu. That's the only way to really translate this into English is read it backwards. You start off with the word sivavunu. They, the evil people, ata now. They ata sivavunu ashurenu. We'll read it like that. We'll go to the second and third word now. They surround our steps, our footsteps. Wherever we walk, they're watching us. They're surrounding us. They're all over the place. These people, they are surrounding our footsteps. And they're watching us. They're spreading out. They're putting themselves in position to ambush us when the opportunity presents itself.
This was a man that did. He
laid the foundation.
The Jewish law,
there are people out there. Okay, there are people out there like
them shall not be called out. And then, now the time.
There are a lot of people out there that their whole life they have plans, grand plans to do crazy things. It's just that they don't have the opportunity. And then lo and behold, one day the opportunity presents itself. Oh, now they spring into action. Their whole life, they're laying the foundation. They're preparing what they're going to do. And then, wow, now the opportunity is here. They're going to grab us.
Translates
is
their eyes
roll. Enehem Yoshisu, looking for an opportunity.
Yes.
Okay, let's again see the Mitzvah one more time, just to clarify this Pasuk one more time with clarity. Pasuk Yud Aleph on the bottom, Ashureinu. See how he translates the words backwards. Se Misa Bevim Ata Ragleinu. These wicked people, they surround our steps, our legs. For what purpose? The purpose being lilkoid oisanu, to trap us. What else do they do? The summon enehem lintai sparitz, they set their eyes to wander, to spread out through the earth, on here and there, le'eroi v'aleinu, to lay ambush against us. In other words, waiting for the right opportunity to attack. Next pasuk dimyoinai.
That's when you have a trap, you
spread
it out.
You lay the foundation, you wait for the opportunity. Pasuk base. Dimyoinoi ke'arye yichsoif litroif. What does it mean, dimyoinoi? Dimyoinoi means their imagination. Their imagination is similar to a lion, yichsoif, that is lurking. Yichsoif is another word for laying in ambush. Okay, their imagination is similar to that of a lion. That's yichsoif.
Yeah, yichsoif is to yearn.
Kasaf kasafti. Kesaf is kisufim. Kisufim, yearning. Their imagination. The word dimyoni is not an easy word. Dimyoni, we like to say, well, I didn't translate the way the Mitzvah says, is doimehu. They are like. Okay, dimyoni, they are comparable to. These wicked people can be compared to a ke'arye, like a lion. The reason why I find that to be a very strange translation, that they are like, because you don't find that in Tehillim and in Nach. It's self understood that when you say the ke'arye yichsef litzrayf. If the word dimyoni would not be there, no one would bat an eyelash. It's obvious. Every single word, the pasuk yud, it says chalbamai. They're fat. Chalbamai is a metaphor. Every single word in Tehillim is a metaphor. You don't have to go say, oh, they're like. I want to tell you something now, and I want to give you an introduction, that this idea that I'm telling you is a metaphor for the wicked people. I don't need you to tell me that. That's self-understood. That's part of the package. That's obvious. So why then the Mitzvah Sefer says, Dimyoinai, we can compare the wicked to a lion who is yearning to rip apart its prey. That's very strange. That's why I assume the word Dimyoinai means, it's saying these wicked people have very unique creative imaginations. The imagination, the mind of the wicked is equivalent to the mind of a lion. A lion, what does the lion do the whole day? It just waits to go to attack. That's what it does the entire day. The wicked people, their dimyon, their imagination, their mind, their way of thinking is like a lion. If you said they're like a lion, what does that mean? It means they made themselves into, they behave like a lion. When you say the word dimyoinai, you're going into their brain. You're going into the chemical composition of their brain. Their fascination, their creativity, their way of thinking, it ups the game. It gives these people, we describe them in much more graphic detail of describing how wicked these people are. Just like a lion. Well, you're going to train a lion. You're going to train a lion to be good. You can't train a lion. A lion is a lion. Got to be a typical. I saw a video. There was a zookeeper. He thought it was macho, right? So he thought, like, he wanted to show all the people that are coming to the zoo that he's such a good trainer. He can go in the lion's den. He had this video floating around. So he was mounted with the lion inside the lion. They're standing with the lion. Like, you know, I'm buddy with the lion. The lion loves me. I feed the lion. I give it food. And when all of the visitors come to go see the animals. wow, look at this guy. Daniel, the goy of Arayas. It's not Daniel, the goy of Arayas. And suddenly the lion went and attacked his zookeeper. And he injured him. And it was like an emergency. Who knows? They had to go save him. They had to go do something to get him out of there really quick. Oh, but how could it be? I feed you every day. I'm so good to you. A lion is a lion. You can't train a lion. This is the way it is. A lion eats up human beings. Don't play games. There's nothing you can do. You're dealing here with people. So you say, oh, you know, he's a human being, he's a nice guy. Just don't get on his bad side. Get on his bad side, he's ferocious. He'll attack you. No. Rishoim, wicked people, they're different types of people. They're a lion in the body of a human being. Their minds, their dimyonos, their imagination, this is their way they operate. You can't. Right, so I told you, the Mitzvah does not say that.
They could be compared to.
Right, that's what I said.
You know, they could be compared to, they're similar to.
Right, that's exactly what I said.
Not necessarily imagination.
Right,
they could be compared to
exactly
that.
What I just said, that's how we started. I'm expressing my surprise at the Mitzvah is done, because there's no need to say the word that they can be compared to. The way the Mitzvah Stavit translates this pasuk is, we're dealing here, the subject matter are wicked people. And the pasuk is telling us, I want to let you know something about these people. These wicked people can be compared to, they are similar to, they're doimeh to a lion. The difficulty from my limited understanding is, I don't need the pasuk to tell me that the wicked people can be compared to a lion. Just say, Ke'arye yichsaif litraif. Since when do psukim in Nach introduce themselves by telling you, I want to give you a metaphor, and I want to warn you that what I'm telling you, this is a metaphor. It's self-understood that it's a metaphor. There's no need to say. Right, since when does the pasuk say, Dimyoinoi kigur arye? The Yehuda is doime Yehuda domui lugur arye. It doesn't need to say it's doime. It's self understood. It's doime. It's doime.
Solution for that. It doesn't mean that he is like a lion. He thinks that he's like a lion.
He's
like a lion. So he acts like a lion.
Okay, that's another interpretation.
He thinks he's a big shot.
Okay, that's another interpretation.
I'm the king of the forest.
Okay, that's another interpretation.
I don't know if we could start changing the Masaris in concept because we have a kasha. You know, Kipshuta means, you know, he's Dimyon.
I know, that's what the Mizuzam says. but the word Dimyon is also used in our vocabulary to mean imagination. Dimyon, and then okay, so I'm saying a drush, but the simple interpretation is exactly what you said. The Mitzvah David says it means the positive is making a statement. The subject matter is okay, good. Absolutely, what it says. The subject matter
is. Not everyone sees as clearly as you do. You know, it's good to see Dimyon.
Okay. Okay.
Pictures a thousand words.
Okay. Dimyoinoi, they are like arye, like a lion that's yichsaif, that's yearning litraif. The chichfir yoishev, and a kfir that sits b'mistarim in hiding. Okay, we're going to see a little maybe with the Malam, a beautiful Malam that explains there. You know, there are seven types of lions, seven names, and they represent different stages in the development and maturity of a lion. A kfir is the baby lion. A baby lion does not have the confidence to go out into the open and attack. A baby lion has to resort to hiding and has to wait. He's in training. So in the meantime, the kafir, a baby lion, he waits, he hides, he lurks in ambush in Hester, in the Mistarim, and when it sees an opportunity at a distance, then it goes out and attacks. A regular lion.
You know, by Yehuda Gur Arye, it doesn't fit in the word Dimyon. It's like a bracha or a nevuah, what's going to be. And Yehuda Gorarye.
Okay, so forget about that pasuk. Look at the whole Tanakh. Look at the pasuk even these from over here. It doesn't say. So over here we have a baby lion. The baby lion does not have the gall to go and attack. It's not yet ready for that. But an Aryeh goes out into the open and looks around, sniffs around, where can I make trouble? The kafir has to hide. So here we're talking about these Rishoyim, and they have both elements in them. They're ke'aryeh, an adult lion that's yichsav, the yearns, litref, v'chichfir, and they are similar to a baby lion, yoshev b'mistarim, that hides and that sits in hiding, waiting and looking for an opportunity. Let us look at the mitzvah of Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk says, "Demyonai demu ka'aryeh hachemed hachemed yearns litref." He translates the word yichsav of chemda. Chemda is desire. Yoshev b'mistarim. Desire. Yoshev b'mistarim. Matvin. That's when he hides himself, left to lay in ambush. Laval yiru. He should not be seen. Next. Pasuk of Gimel Kum Hashem Kadma. Next. Kum Hashem Hashem. Rise up. Kadma fonav and present yourself. Bring forward your panim. A very interesting expression. We beg Hashem, rise up. Here is where we're concluding the Mizmar. Rise up, present yourself. Rising up and presenting is not the same thing. Hachri'ehu. Hachri'ehu means cut him down. The Mitzudo Sion, he translates the word, doesn't say translates the word Hachri'ehu. Okay, I have to say Hachri'ehu means to be Mimachria.
You know,
yeah?
Confront him.
Okay.
Which, as we say today, get in his face.
Get in the confrontation. Hachra. We have to have a more precise translation. Come forward.
The same proceed expression that we say
we present ourselves. We go forward.
You
go forward.
Do your job.
Go fucking proceed. Hachri'ehu. This is a hard word to precisely translate. We'll see in a moment. Palto Navshi, save.
Before he has a chance to do his evil, Kodma Bonov. Get there early.
Nip in the bud. Preemptive strike.
Down.
A preemptive strike. Palto Navshi. Palto Navshi. Palto Navshi. Palto means save. Save my neshama. Meirosha.
Doesn't Palto mean to divide?
I'm not sure.
There's no word palpid.
It's palto, the test.
No.
Like Plato.
A survivor. To be a pol. Vayavoy ha-polit. Oy, gmelech ha-boshan. Say, vayavoy ha-polit, a refugee, a survivor, someone who escapes, a polit. Palto nafshi me-rosha, from me-rosha charbecha, may your sword, so you have to read the words backwards. Yeah. May your sword, Hashem, save my neshama from the wicked. Okay, let's see the mitzvah of the stuff. This is a hard pasuk. Pasuk Gimel, Kadma Ponov, Ad Shelo Yil Kidini, before he captures me. Hakdimeu, precede him, go in front of him. Vehapilehu, take him down. So he's translating the word Hachri'ehu, as if it says, Pilehu.
No, that's the next
word. Hakdimehu lichroya, he should bow al birkov on his knees. Okay, so they're saying over here the word, according to the Mitzvah Zavid, Hachri'ehu means let him bow.
Bring him
down. Bring him, excellent. Bring him to his knees. Bring him down. Palta nafshi, and then save me. Save me, Meirasha, from the Palta Hatzel. Save nafshin yad harasha shahu. Now here's a little bit complex. This is where you can find a difference. I translate it different than what it does over here. Miyad harasha shahu char becha. The rasha is your sword. Okay, this is a very difficult interpretation. That over here, a rasha, David over here is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm just trying to translate what he's saying in the midst of
the
study. So there is, I don't, with your,
missing words there.
Kill him with your sword. But that's
kill
not,
with your sword.
Yeah, but that's not what it says in the Mitzudos. So the Mitzudos appears to be disagreeing with what it says in the Targum. The Targum says, bring him down to his knees, save my soul from this Rasha, and kill him. Kill him, execute him with your sword. Okay, the Mitzudah is, I don't know, it doesn't seem to say that. The Mitzudah seems to say,
the Rasha the sword.
What?
That the Rasha is the sword.
The Rasha is your sword. Shehu char becha. Your sword. So it's saying, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you want to interpret this. What the Mitzudah seems to be saying is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the Rasha, he's really sending it against us because we are misbehaving. There's nothing happens by accident. It's not just an accident that we are presented with a challenge. When Klal Yisrael is suffering, it's because Hashem is giving them Musar. Hashem has drawn his sword against us. The wicked are nothing more than the tool of Hashem to remind us to do teshuva and be mekayim the mitzvahs. So Hashem has taken out his sword against us because of our averos. And we now are doing teshuva. And thus we ask Hashem, we've done ours, we've done teshuva, we recognize our mistakes. Therefore, withdraw your sword. Withdraw the Rasha. The Rasha should come to his knees. The Rasha should be obliterated. The threat should come to an end because we have done teshuva. We recognize that the Rasha that is coming to attack us is not an accident. It's because we have a need to do teshuva, and this has been directed against us because of our wrong deeds, our misgivings. That's a chiddush. That's a little bit too much of a drush. That sounds like a chassidish of art, that type of translation. Right? I'm more with you that you like to say that the word charbecha, and the way I originally understood this passage before we went into this is that you read the words out of order, as we always do, and it means palata, all right, let's see, kum Hashem kad b'fonav hachri'ehu, with your sword. I thought that the word charbecha should be applied to the beginning of the pasuk. Rise up, Hashem, kadma fanaf, and go forward. Come forward, hachri'ehu charbecha. Bring him down with your sword, and thus, through doing so, palta nafshi me rasha. Thus, you will save my soul from this evil man. So I understood this pasuk, as we commonly do, is we read the words out of order, and the word charbecha was on the beginning of the pasuk, and we're asking Hashem to rise up, to come forward, bring him down with your sword, bring him to his knees with your sword. Okay, that's also not. No, he doesn't exactly say that. Kum Hashem, akdem apoy, bring forth, hamtei means. I'm not sure what that means. Hamtei means to tilt. Bring him down. Pitzei nafshi min rashia. The ischayav that is guilty, and that is guilty, that is chayav nisa. The ischayav, save my nisham from the rasha that is guilty and is chayav nisa. Getol b'saifach, that is chayav to die. The Targum is not saying that. The Targum over here is saying there are some missing words in this pasuk. And David is begging Hashem to save my neshama from the Rasha that is guilty of evil and is chayiv saif.
That's not the way I understand the Targum. He's talking about the Rashiya from the Rasha.
From the Rasha, that is the ischayav. That is chayiv misa with your sword.
The Rashiya, the ischayav katol to save that, because the Rasha is chayiv katol.
Is chayiv misa. What kind of misa? There are dalad misas bezin. There are dalad misas bezin, and the misa that is chayiv is herik. Saif. So that's it. So
the Aramaic of Karmesso is Seifetho.
Okay, the Rasha is Chayiv Misa.
Right.
And what kind of Misa is the Chayiv Saif? Decapitation. That's what it's. That is the way the Targum is translating. Hashem, rise up. Hashem, present yourself. Hachu'eyu, wipe out the wicked. Save my neshama from this evil Rasha who is Chayiv Misa. Saif. That's the Targum. Rashi does not say that. I mean the Mitzudos does not say that. The Mitzudos says, Hashem, rise up. Present yourself. Bring him to his knees. save my soul from the Rasha, who is your instrument of punishment to the Jewish people.
How come they didn't see the Targum,
they see the Mitzudah saw the Targum, no doubt about it, and the Mitzudah saw probably that he saw another 20 Perushim, and he selected what he felt was the simplest,
the simplest.
Okay, we didn't do the Rashi's yet, that's going to be our second piece. Charbecha Shata Mashlita Lipara, you give him power, Lipara, obviously, the Mitzudah says what Rashi says. See, the Mitzudah is just following in the lead of Rashi. Rashi says that the Rasha is Hashem's tool. It is Hashem's instrument to punish people that are not going in the right way. So the Rasha is Hashem's sword. We should never forget that when we are faced with a challenge, it is not an accident, it's not a coincidence. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. He's sending us a message that it's time for you to do teshuva. The Rasha is nothing other than the tool of Hashem, is Hashem's tool. Mitzrayim is the Kor HaBarzel.
Save us from yourself, Hashem.
Save us from you. Hashem, save us from you because you bring this upon us. Leich kenois eskol ha-Yehudim. The only way to be saved is doing teshuvah. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudalit. Mimisim yodcha Hashem. From now, mimisim yodcha. Sick. It's poetic. Hashem mimisim mecheled chelkam b'chayim utzvuncha temalei vidnam yisbu vanim v'ilichu yisram le'olilayim. It's a very long, complicated pasuk. Let's go one word at a time. Pasuk Gidal mimisim ehye min hamesim miyadcha. Okay, so here we go, the first two words. This is a bakasha, prayer. Please Hashem, let me die on my own bed. Okay, everyone, I'm sure you know the story of Aaron Cutler.
Yeah,
the famous. The mice of Aaron Cutler is this interesting story.
The mafia,
there was a person in Russia, I think it was. Where was the mice? There was a person who came to
that. How did he get Yidden out of Italy?
Italy?
How did he get Sheriff's Plate out of Italy?
Out of Italy, that was the story?
It was with Frank.
There was some. There was
Frank Costello. He was the head of the mafia in New York. And they wanted to bring out people from Italy, but they couldn't. He had connections.
So the only one that can help.
At first they went to the government, they didn't want to help or something.
So the head of the mafia was able to help Jews in Italy to bring them to safety. And Rav Aaron Cutler was involved in trying to help and trying to bring salvation for these people. And they told him the only one that can really help you is the head of the mafia. Frank Costello, that was his name? So they made an appointment. So they made an appointment. You know who writes this up? It's written up, if you want to see, it's written up phenomenally well by Nachum Seltzer in the book, incredible, The Life of Rabbi Wallace. Mayor Appeldorf, he introduced me to this book. The book is indeed incredible. It really is. It's quite a book. If you want it, that book, it's a very worthy to read that book. A lot of very famous stories, but it's not just that these are famous stories. It's written up. He writes, Nachum Seltzer as a koyach of hasbara.
What's the name of the book?
Incredible. The Life of Rabbi Wallace. It's like a biography. Okay, so there the story, I don't know the details, but the story vaguely remembers of Aaron Cutler was in great need. He needed help and he went and they made an appointment with the head of the mafia, and he tells you all the gory details of getting an appointment, going in to see him, Hulu finally gets into the inner chamber and he meets him and he tells him what he needs. And I don't remember all the details, but he gave him a bracha.
So the details are like this: they have a bag of coins, and he passed the bag of coins to him. And the mafia head, he took the bag of coins and passed it back to him. He says, "I don't want, I don't speak Yiddish." He said, "There are
interpreter
Jews there, but I want a bracha from."
He doesn't want money; he wants a blessing. So an iron collar on his own. On his own, said, "I give you a blessing. You should die in your own bed."
Right.
And Frank was very, very impressed.
I don't think it was him because he was gunned down. He did die on the bed.
He died natural death.
Frank did die on his bed, right? So he said to him, he said to him, he said, so he was very impressed. The way the story goes, and he says, for a person like me, that's a very good blessing.
He says that's the best bracha. That's
the best bracha you can possibly get. So how did Rav Aaron Kollin know to do that?
Shoot him in the bed and leave him.
How did Rav Aaron Kollin know? How did he know to give him that bracha? Who knows? How am I ruach hakodesh? Shchina midaberes mitoch picha. He knew what to say to him. He was very impressed with that bracha. Not in the store, fine. But he was very, very impressed with that bracha. And seemingly, he was instrumental. He gave the word to his men, and he was very instrumental. He was very instrumental in helping Rav Aaron Kollin bring about salvation. 30 years passed. Okay, 30 years passed, and indeed, the bracha came true. He died a natural death on his bed. After he died, his son was Yerush, the Balchus. And one day, lo and behold, a whole collection of vehicles shows up in front of Lakewood. It's a true story. A whole collection of vehicles, I guess they have their...
The Cadillacs?
Yeah.
Okay,
black,
the classic...
Black Cadillacs.
Black Cadillacs show in front of Lakewood. They say they want to speak to the rabbi. They want to talk to the rabbi. And after a little bit of a conversation, they were probably looking for Rav Aaron long passed away, and Schneer was his successor, and they wanted to speak to Schneer Cutler, and they went into him and they told over the story, whatever, and they said, also wants a bracha.
Bless us.
The son wants a bracha, and Schneer says, I'm not my father. I don't have that koyach of bracha like my father. There's nothing I can do for you. And he left. That's how he writes it up, Nachum Seltzer. I can't help you. Rav Schneer didn't give him a bracha. Rav Schneer says, I can't. I don't have that koyach to give brachas. My father can do that. I can't do that. I'm not on that madrega to give such a bracha. So you see over here, Rav Aaron Kollin knew Tehillim very well. And he said, Mimisim Yaducha. It's a bracha to die on your own bed, to die through Hashem's hands, peacefully, not to die a violent death. And we don't understand what this means, but after you read some of these svarim, you get a little bit of a flavor of these ideas. There's something we really don't know anything about. Besides that, we don't know what goes on in the next world. Anyone that says they do know is obviously it's just a phony. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever, generally, but it seems pretty clear from Chazal, the way a person dies has a major effect on what happens in the next world. It's not just, okay, a person dies, he goes to the next world, so listen, you know, the transition between this world and the next world, again, that's a separate parsha. There's your behavior in this world, and then there's the next world, and in between how you get from here to there, what difference does it make? That's a separate parsha. No. It seems over and over you get this impression. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know, and I cannot cite for you chapter and verse. But this idea comes up more and more again. There's something about the way a person dies, the matzav, the way he dies, and that matzav somehow is very significant in what happens afterwards. I'm just saying words. So here, when you see a pasuk like this, it touches upon that principle, mimisim yodcha, from those who die by your hand. David is being mevakesh. I want to die a natural death. I don't want to die a violent death.
So the person should always have a ways.
Yeah, exactly. You see another proof. Lezois yisvalel kol chasid le'eis mitzoy. Le'eis mitzoy, that he should, that his departure from this world should be peaceful. Without any hiccups, without any holdups, without any problems.
By the way, it reminds me Ibn Ezra in the Torah. Something. So I think I'm not sure if this one or another one with the word metim. So he wrote Omdim Chayim Shochvim Metim. What did he mean by that? Ibn Ezra. There are two nekudot under the man. Im shtei nekudot omdot, as a metin, hakavana anashim chayim.
Okay.
Shovim, if the two dots are side by side,
shochrim
meitim. Omdim chayim shochrim.
Vertical versus horizontal. Yes. You're vertical, you're alive. Horizontal, it's over.
This was the Ibn Ezra said, or the word metim.
Nesim.
Metim. Metim is not dead.
It means living.
It's living. And I looked here.
Minesim yadcha. Yeah, the living. All right, I hear what you're saying. If it's vertical, if it's a shva, the two dots are vertical. If it's a tsere, then it's a mitzvah. Okay, interesting, interesting. I hear, we have to look. I hear what you're saying, interesting. But let's see over here, what is over here in the Mitzvahs first. May I be from those who die naturally, your hand. Then he repeats himself. Hashem, mimisim, those who die, may chele, mitzvahs. What is chele? Chele is a very hard word. It means those who live in this world. Chelet is another word for this world. This world. Mechamas shekolos man chayeyem bavur hazigna. Because of those who die old age. He's translating the word mechelet. Look over here in the Mitzudos Tzion. It's a unique translation. Mechelet in zman. Mecholet. What is the zman? He translates what chelet to mean time. So again, the pasuk over here says, "Minisim yadvash." David is meaning praying. Hashem, please let me die a natural death. I should die through your hand, not through the hand of a human being. I should not be killed. I should not be murdered by through or die through some unnatural cause.
Say everything and not so.
What do we say? Person should not die, misam shunda, all these things, the person should die naturally. Then it says, Hashem, I'm a mispal to Hashem, mimisim, may I be from those people who die, mecheled from zman, expiring. The human body can only exist that long. We mentioned this, I have a book over here, a very good book, fantastic. What's the name of the book? The ABCs of Science and Halacha. You mentioned, you know, the author and the Machaber. I have it over here on the shelf. It's a very, very good book. It's basically 8th grade science. What you're probably supposed to know when you're in 8th grade, you should already know everything it says in that book. There's a lot of good stuff in that book. Basic stuff, basic science, and a little bit of halacha, touched a little bit upon halacha. But in that book, there's a lot of statistics, a lot of studies, a lot of information, and it says that scientists today, they believe, this is what he writes there, that the body can only last naturally for 125 years. And Moshe lived, you know, 120, and we're brainwashed is v'chayu yomav mea v'esrim shana. And mea v'esrim, look, I don't live 123. There are people today, there are people that live more than 120 years, but Moshe, v'chayu yomav mea v'esrim. We had a nice discussion that in this world is 6,000 years, and we divide 6,000 by 120, it's 50, right? And 50 is Yovel. There are 50 generations. 120 is the max. So that means 120 multiplied by 50 is exactly 6,000. This world is supposed to be 6,000 years. Yoyim be'enecha ki elef shanim be'enecha ki yoyim esmol. 1,000 years in Hashem's eyes is like one day. Hashem made the world in 6 days. So on a larger scale, this world is supposed to exist for 6,000 years. What is 6,000? There's a man in this world, v'ha yom av mea v'eshrim shana. Thus, the world is in 50 sections. You can break down this world into 50 sections of 120, which now makes a lot of sense. 50 is yovel, 7 times 7 then is yovel, and each unit is 120. But in the law and science, when they understand that a human being, the cells, we all know that the cells die, and there are cells that are regenerated. And every time a cell is regenerated, it's not the same. The regeneration of a cell cannot possibly be like a half-life. You know, it cannot possibly be as potent and as robust as where it came from. So it's natural, so it comes to a certain point in time where the cells, they've already reproduced so many times, they're worn out. It's like a battery. You have a lithium battery. So what, I have a phone. So you buy a new phone, so the battery lasts a long time. And then you recharge it. And every time you recharge it, the recharge is less than it was before. That's a reality. If you have a lithium battery, first time, let's say you can go, you can charge, it can last for 24 hours. The next time, it's 23 hours and 56 minutes. The next time, 23 hours and, you know, 54 minutes. And the more you recharge it, the less it lasts. See, I my phone now, I can't even go more than 2-3 hours because it's an old phone. I'm using this one already for maybe 2.5 years. And that's it. That's it. It's gone. It's finished. If I try to recharge the battery is toast because every time you recharge it, the charge lasts less and less. The cells die. The cells die. The cells, Hashem made the mitzias where they replenish, they rejuvenate. But every time it rejuvenates, it's not the same. It's like a lithium battery. It's not the same the way it was before. And that's called aging. And it gets to a certain point where it's it. It doesn't have any koyach to rejuvenate anymore. Thus, according to the science, how many times can the body, the cells reproduce, regenerate after they die and still have koyach to regenerate? 125 years. This is what it says in the book. I believe it's very reliable. The person who wrote this book, Rabbi Shalof, is a genius, and he has incredible information there, which all kli halacha. That's what they believe today, which obviously stems very much well with what it says in Chazal, v'hayom av me'av yesh mishana. Now, obviously, there are exceptions. Okay, obviously, people live very, very long. There's a legend that Rabbi Yochanan lived 400 years. Is that true? Could that possibly be true? There's a legend that Rav, who is Rav, Rabbi Abba, he also lived 400 years. It's such a legend. These people lived 400 years. In any event, cheled means age, zman. But what kind of, not just zman, if it meant zman, it would say zman. It means a zman that is natural for a person to live. Hashem, may I be from the class of people, may the sin who die, may cheled from old age, from zman. Chelkom b'chayim, mitzudas David. May my portion be le'olam haba. Now notice the mitzudos. I said the wrong thing, I'm sorry. Chelkam ve'oysam shechelkam b'chayi olam haba, period. And then when I die, may my portion be from those who live in olam haba. Chayim means chayim nitzchim, olam haba. Utzifunicha timale. What does that mean? Mitzudos v'asher timale vitnam. May rav, and may you fill there. I'm sorry, timale vitnam. Utsufuncha, Temale, Vietnam, Mitsudois, Vyasher, Temale, Vietnam, Merav, Tuv, Hatsafun, from the blessing that is hidden away, Asher, Ayin, Loy, Ruasa, eyes did not see. So you have to read the words backwards. You have to read the words backwards that Temale, Vietnam, from what is Sifuncha, what you have hidden away from the Sadiq and Nasalavai. Okay, so then we go to the next part of the pasuk, and it says, "Yisvu vanim, may they be sated with children." May oisnasher yisvu bivanim hagunim. He writes, "Hagunim, good children." May oisamasher yanichu yisroin ashram, who leave over their wealth. Okay, the yisro means the extra wealth. Livneim to their children, l'reshes oisam achrei oisam, that the people that get the money, the children, that the money should not go to the government. The money should not go to the ganav, it should not go to the funeral director. The money should go to their children. Some people they leave over. I think in the United States, they have the crazy, crazy estate laws. Right? If people do not give away their money when they're alive in a very creative way, the government, they'll take it all. I don't know if the law passed. They tried very recently. It's unbelievable. They tried very recently, the federal government, to pass a law where the estate tax would be 60%. A person, can you believe this thing? A person can work his whole life, and if he doesn't have a good lawyer and know what to do before he dies, and he just dies suddenly, the government, they were planning to do this. I don't know what happened at the end. It was part of the Build Back Better plan. It was embedded secretly.
They wanted the death tax.
The Build Back Better plan was this big. Okay, no one ever read it. And in that was crazy, creepy things, and that you wouldn't believe that.
Depends where they set the threshold at.
And one of the things was a 60% death tax.
Well, the liberal concept is
it's not your money.
You got it from society, you
give it back. So this keneged, what it says in this pasuk. In this pasuk it says that when a person leaves this world, it says David is being misfollowed not to be that build back better plan should not pass. Because he's being follow that the Yisram should go to their children. It says Yisvu vanim v'yinichu Yisram le'oilelehem to their children, not to the government, not to society, to do crazy things with the money. Let's look at the Mitzvah David. Back to the Mitzvah David. The Tzvurich Tamali Vidam to Me'osim HaSadikim Shem Tamali Vidam Minatoy V'Atzvur Loch Sheyisvu Heim Uvdeim V'Gam Benim. That they should be satisfied. I'm reading from the wrong page. I'm sorry, I'm read. I'm sorry. Yisru v'alim yosem asher yisru bevadim hagun b'mosem asher yenichu yisroim esher levem l'resh oisam achrei moisam. Then it concludes with, okay, that's it, fine. Let's read the pasuk one more time. One more time in the pasuk inside. Powerful pasuk. David is praying, Hashem, I beg you, mimisim yadicha. May I be from those people who die naturally, not through some type of violent death through the hands of man. Number two, David says, Hashem, may I have a long life. May I die from old age, not from any other, not from illness. Maybe what it means over here is that even when a person dies naturally, there are different ways to die naturally. You can die naturally because the body gives out and the body has disease. A person can die naturally, but the natural is because he gets sick. And then a person dies of old age. Think about it. How often do you hear a person die from old age? Almost never. When a person dies, you always see, it's so rare. What did he die from? A person's 99 years old. He died. He died from old age. They don't say that. So that's already good. That's called natural. It's just hard. He stopped. You know, he died. His heart stopped. Today, when people, even when they die, when they're 99 years old, you hear they die because Rahman would stomach, because they had this, kidney failure, and that. These are not natural things. They had a cancer at the end. What? Because they're not. Those are the illnesses. I mean, a person has to die from something, obviously, right? But I mean, you hear every once in a while, you have to believe it. People are not going to tell you the truth. What did he die from? He was 100 years old. He was just old. He was old. He was very weak. And he just gave up, and his heart just stopped. That's not cool. He didn't have a heart condition. He just 100 years old. The body can only go on that long. He just passed. You don't hear that. What? 100 years old. What did he die from? He had a condition. Finally, the condition caught up with him. He got pneumonia. He had cancer. Kidney failure.
A couple hundred years ago, they just died.
No, I'm talking about now. They didn't know. 100 years ago, didn't know. They didn't know what they are. I'm talking about now, today. Today, every once in a while, you hear it. It's very rare.
My wife's grandfather,
103,
he just...
Right. Did they say that he had a condition?
He had no condition.
No condition. He was a healthy person.
He was old age.
And he just
died. He drank whiskey every day. He had salami every day. He loved his stuff. The condition was that when they put him into a nursing home because he broke his leg, they didn't give him those things that he liked. And he gave up.
He died. That is called chelem. When a person is 100 years old and he has a kidney failure, there's a problem. The body is not functioning properly. That's not the way to go. So it says here there are two things. A person should die naturally. Not through yodcha, not having been killed by another human being. And number two, even when he dies naturally, it should not be because his body failed him. It's because he just passed. That's it. This time came and he died and his heart stopped. And neshama, Hashem took his neshama. Don't go start looking at the body, which the body pushed the person out prematurely. Chelkam b'chayim, after the person leaves this world, may he merit to be in chaye oilam haba, and may he merit. Now here is a very frightening thing. Just because the person is in chaye oilam haba, what do you do there in chaye oilam haba? It's a lot of activities. There are a lot of floors. There are a lot of venues. What do you do in chaye oilam haba? So they did. So therefore, in chaye oilam haba, he should merit from those people that bitnam yisbu'u, that they're bitnam. What is a beten? The stomach? There is no stomach in oilam haba. What kind of expression is this? Bitnam. A person eats in Olam Haba. Chazal said there's no such thing as eating in Olam Haba. What does this mean? Bitnam, their innards. They're what is this? These are terms, we have no idea what these terms mean. It should be satisfied. Bitnam timale, may you fill up their beten with utzifunecha, with the reward, with the tainug that has been hidden away for tzaddikim from the time of creation. And then he's misfalo. Furthermore, when he leaves this world, he should leave this world being satisfied with children. He should leave over in this world children. Yis me'uvanim. He should be sated with children. And may he also merit that the children should not be paupers. They should be established people. V'hinichu yisram. He should leave over yisram, whatever he accomplished, le'oyle lehem, to his children. Last pasuk, ani, v'tzedek echazeh fanecha, I, in righteousness echazeh fanecha, will see you upon him. How could you see a person Hashem upon him? Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chayim. When a person is alive, a person cannot see Hashem's part. When a person is no longer living, then he can see. May I see b'tzedek echazeh fanecha, esba'a, may I be sated b'hakitz, t'chiyas ha'mesin. When I awake, when I reawake in this world, t'muna secha, your image. Mitzvah David, b'tzedek, ba'avur ha'tzedek shu'asisi, because of the tzedek, because of the good deeds that I have done in this world, eske, may I merit l'chazayis panecha in the next world, the esba'a, may I be sated, mimaris t'muna secha, be'eis boy zman ha'yikitza, who t'chiyas ha'mesin. Many of the dead, the people from the dead, many, it says, Rabbim, it's a very encouraging expression. It says here in this pasuk, many people, because some of you have the impression that very few people will merit t'chiyas ha'mesin. This pasuk seems to indicate that many people are going to merit t'chiyas ha'mesin. Okay, so this last pasuk again means, ani I, but tzedek, because of my good deeds, the tzedek that I have accomplished in this world, may I merit in that zuchus, echazeh fanecha, to see your panim in the next world. And then, there should be t'chiyas ha'mesin, I should come back into this world, and esba'a, I should be sated, v'hakitz, when I reawake in this world, t'muna secha, your t'muna. Okay, a lot of spooky stuff here. So these last psukim, pasuk yudalit, and pasuk tezvav, are describing the time of death, the moment when the person leaves. Before that, we had a whole collection of psukim where David is praying that Hashem should wipe out the wicked people. The wicked people should be wiped out, and that all started. Where did that section start? It started with Pasuk Zayin is where the shift took place. Where we began to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to ask Hashem to protect from the wicked. And the beginning of the parak is David talking about his own life. David is over here is describing his merits and his desires. So in the beginning of the parak, the parak can be divided into three parts. The first part of the parak, David is expressing, is mentioning his good deeds. I'm a good person, and I have gone your ways. I have tried to save other people from falling into the trap of going down a bad path. I'm a good person, I have merit. That's the beginning. Then David comes and he says, Hashem, get rid of the wicked. And then number three, David talks about his end, his departure from this world, and his return at the time of T'chiyas ha'mesin. So there is... What? 70 years.
Is that considered a long time at that time?
You know, it all depends on how you live. Some people, every day, some people accomplish in one day more than others accomplish a whole life. Okay, you always see this. There are certain people, a day, even a person, sometimes the person, you know, you go through a period of time, nothing happens. You don't feel like any... And then you can go through a couple of days in your life where the events that happen in those days are so potent, they're so powerful, it's like you live multiple lives in a very short period of time. It's not fair to measure life in terms of days and years. It's the experience that you have. And the more you make out of it, the more you know you take upon yourself, the more you make out of it, and the day is over, what have you, you know, how far have you pushed yourself to live, to achieve during the time that you have in this world? So you know what it does? A person can die. A person can die in his torment. Look at the Ramah. How old was the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, when he passed away? No one really knows. It's a real big mystery. And it's a very big range. Some people say the range goes from 33, I don't think anyone says less than that, 33 years old, to 52. And there's a lot of different opinions that are in the middle. So let's say you take the opinion that he was 33 years old. Could you imagine how much the Ramah accomplished by the time he was 33 years old?
The Zoya was 40
when he passed away?
Yeah.
40. How old was the Arizal?
The Ramchal was 42.
Yeah. 42. The Arizal?
38.
Some say even less. 38. I mean, unbelievable. And these people, they live on in ways that no one can believe. How long was the Rambam? Did the Rambam live? I don't know. The Rambam? Rashi was 65. Rashi lived to the age of 65. That was it. And he was sick. The last couple of years, Rashi wasn't even well. He wasn't fully active the last couple of years of his life. So if he said Rashi, let's say Rashi in his prime, Rashi, let's say 60 years old. Could you imagine? Rashi, Rabban Shal Yisrael. Who doesn't live? There's not a moment during the day where someone's not learning a Rashi. That was the greatest compliment someone told about Mayor Zlatowitz. I know this person very well. His name Leon Metzger.
Leon Metzger.
So he was my father's very close friend, and he told Mayor Zlatowitz, he once met with him. And he told Mayor Zlatowitz, he says, think about it. There's not a second during the day that there's not someone in the world somewhere that is not looking in one of your books, a book that was published by Art Scroll, whether it's a Siddur, whether it's a Chumash, an Art Scroll Gemara, whether it's the English, the Hebrew, or a storybook. There is not a second during the day that there's not someone somewhere in the world that's not immersed and growing spiritually from a product that you are responsible for creating. And he told me that Mayor Zlatowitz was visibly taken aback. And like, he was shaken off by that statement.
My
father's friend, Yibod L'chaim Tovim, his name is Leon Netzke. He told this to me. And he was shaken up visibly, like he never thought of that. isn't that an amazing thing? There are people that are very great people, accomplish incredible things, you know, and the right time. You know, there are certain times when we all, okay, let's now pay tribute to this person. You can say that about Rashi on a much higher, what?
Multitudes of people are using this for them.
On every single moment. I mean, he didn't write the book. He didn't write my thing. He created a product that people are always using. Rashi, who can you say that about? Think about it. I remember Leon Messi told me, started making this analysis. What person can you say that about? You can say that about Rashi, right? Isn't it fair to say that every single moment during the day, somewhere in the world, there's somebody that is studying the words of Rashi? Whether it's on Chumash, the Gemara, right? You can say that about Rashi. Couldn't you say that about the Ramban? Is there someone every second of the day somewhere in the world that is studying the words of the Ramban? Probably. I think we have a bigger population
in
this world.
In the last 150 years, there is a person like that. Recently came war. It's the
Chofetz Chaim. Oh, excellent. Chofetz Chaim.
The
Mishneh Berurah, the Sivri Chofetz Chaim. And the Sivri Chofetz Chaim, the Mishneh Berurah, Luchara, every second of the day there is someone that is studying the words of the Chofetz Chaim. Can you imagine that? Every second. Somewhere in the world. Incredible. Who else? So you mentioned Rashi, we can say that about, for sure. The Chofetz Chaim. Who else? Who could you say with confidence? You can say a person, a single person. But Meir Zlatowitz, he's saying, you created, you know, a company that produces Sifrei Kodesh. People are learning one of those books. But who could you say as an individual? Think about it. Can you say that about the Rambam? Maybe. I don't know. How do you make such an evaluation?
Because how do you say about the Sifras of the Rebbe? Because they have spread all over the world.
It's true. You're saying the Rebbe is definitely true. There's something about that, about the Rebbe. Rebbe's influence. The Rebbe, people are thinking about the Rebbe. This true. There's truth to that. His work, is 24/7, definitely. And you have to define what, you know, exactly, put it in context. Definitely true. Who else could you say something like that? It's an amazing thing. It's amazing that for a person that achieves so much, have such an incredible life, where he lives on. He lives on forever. It's awesome. All right.
How many people say Tehillim?
Oh, Tehillim, David HaMelech. Exactly. Saying very good. David. Every second of the day, there is someone saying Tehillim. Yeah, you're right. Every second of the day, somewhere in the world, there is someone immersed in the words of David. David lives on forever. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're going to take a short break. We're going to learn afterwards. I want to learn about the interesting topic of opening containers, bottles on Shabbos. I have a new sefer which came out, which goes through the sugya in a new, unique way, and we'll try to go through some of the ideas presented therein.
15 years ago, 11-year-old who wanted to go with